Hallelujah. Yes. It's always just such a blessing for me to come down here. I just love being with you guys. It's just, thank you. And I always feel like when I come down that God just touches my heart in a special way. And I know, you know, that as you worship and as you gather together, the Spirit of God comes. And then anything can happen, amen. So I come away from here, blessed and built up and touched by God. So I was really happy coming down in the car this morning. The sun was shining. There was nobody on the road. I was staying awake. You know, it was great. I'm just feeling, wow, what a great God we have. And as we were worshiping him, there were some things that came up as we were worshiping him that really kind of tie in with what I want to share this morning. Things like, you are my rock in times of trouble. You know, we talked about faithful one. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that in this relationship that I have with God, there is at least one faithful one. And that's him, you know, because I'm a work in progress. I don't know, maybe you feel the same way, you know, that you're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. I'm not there. And I'm always wanting, you know, because you get up in front of, behind a pulpit with a microphone and that, and I'm just very nervous about that because sometimes people come and talk to you afterwards as if you had it all together, you know. So I just want to say right from the outset, I don't have it all together, okay? You know, but I'm in a covenant relationship that is really going somewhere because there is one in that relationship who is faithful and that he has made provision for me to draw, you know, to take me by the hand. And if I'm just willing to come along with him, that I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. Amen. So something that's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. And, I just want to read Hebrews chapter 10. And I hope you don't mind, but we might read a fair chunk of that. Maybe a page of it or something. But just before we do that, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your word and putting your word in our hands. Lord, that we can know things that you have provided for us that we would never have suspected and we would never have dared to dream of. Lord, we would never have known about the love of God in sending his son, Jesus, for us to die on the cross and shed his blood and rise with new life so that there might be an exchange of my failure and my inability and my limitations for his victory and his dominion and his life. Lord, we never would have dreamt of that. So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come this morning? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak your word to our hearts this morning? Lord, may you come and touch our hearts and bring fresh truth and fresh life to us. Lord, that we may walk with you and that we may enjoy and take the provision that you paid such an incredible, incredible price for us to have. Amen. Because there's a theme. Okay, I'm just going to mention one phrase in Hebrews chapter 10 before I actually read it, because it's like the tripwire for me in this whole passage. And it is just this one thing from verse 2, would have no more consciousness of sins. Consciousness of sins. That's the That's what we're talking about here. And so starting in verse 1, he says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins." But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time expecting that his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Amen. So, Lord, so let's talk about this consciousness of sins. For he says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they continually offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered." So what the deal was, under the law, that every year, everybody had to come up to the feasts and everybody had to offer sacrifices for their sins. And they would offer the sacrifice of a bull, a goat, even down to a dove, depending on their material circumstances. And they would make this offering. And that offering would cover over the sins that they had committed and the failures and the shortcomings of the past year. And then after the feast, they would turn around and they would make their way back to wherever they had come from. And along the road as they went, they would be thinking, well, there it is, covered for another year, you know. So let me think now, need to organize sacrifice for next year, because by the time I get back to come next year, there'll be lots more sins, there'll be lots more failings, there'll be lots more shortcomings. And as they would go back, they would have been aware that of the necessity of offering these sacrifices to cover over their sin, because that's what the law prescribed. And in that, they had to, in order to walk in the blessing of the law, not the curse of the law, they had to make these sacrifices to cover their sins every year. Every year. And it was a continually ongoing thing. And I suppose sooner or later, they would have been aware that, well, you know, nothing is changing in me. I mean, this whole system is set up just to to cover the fact that I am a sinner. I've always been a sinner. And I'm always going to be a sinner. And it's just going to get covered over and covered over and covered over. But nothing's ever going to change with me. No matter how much willpower I exert on myself, no matter how many seminars I go to, no matter how much courses I pay for and do and take the notes and write them down and put them on my shelf, I'm a sinner. I'm always going to be a sinner. That's how it is. Well, that sounds like a pretty glum kind of scenario. But that's what it's like to live under the consciousness of sins. He says, in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins, it says. And you know, just to understand about that, because you know what God said at the outset was that the wages of sin is death. We don't kind of, you know, always think about that, but that's what God says, that the wages of sin is death. And so God provided under the law that there would be a sacrifice that could cover over the sin of the previous year, because you know the sacrifice of an animal was at least innocent, you know, because the sheep or the bull or the goat or the dove hadn't sinned. So there was a representation in that there was innocence in that, that there was a sinless sacrifice. But of course, it wasn't a human sacrifice, so it couldn't pay for the debt of life, a life, because the law is the wages of sin is death. So the bulls and goats sacrifice could only cover over, but couldn't take away. Amen. And then we're brought in. This is an amazing bit of scripture here. I just really was so taken with this because it just sort of made me be quiet inside, because this next little bit from verse 5, 6, 7 is like a revelation of the conversation in heaven. Because it talks about, therefore, when he came into the world, that's Jesus, he said, speaking to the Father, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Why did God have no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin? Because it was not able to take away sin. It was only covering over for another year, but it couldn't change a human being. Yeah? And so God had no pleasure in that. God wasn't satisfied. God wasn't satisfied with that. God wasn't satisfied that his people would go around living under the consciousness of sin, of failure, of limitation, of not being able to amount to God, what God desires for us. So God had no pleasure, and he says, but a body you have prepared for me. This is the Word of God, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And the Father determined to answer this problem of sin, and by preparing a human body for his only Son, to answer the problem of sin in humanity. And that's the bit that talks about what the heart of God. And then this is the bit that talks about the heart of Jesus. Then I said, "Behold, I have come." And he says, in the volume of the book it is written of me. In other words, you know, "Behold, I come," as has been promised in Scripture from thousands of years. In the volume of that, this is not something, some snap decision that God made. This is something that God always intended. Yeah. And Jesus says, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." In other words, to carry through this purpose that was going to happen in this body that God Father prepared for his Son. And so the writer of Hebrews actually finds this so significant that he actually repeats that scripture all over again from verse 5, because he's just said it there in verse 5, and then in verse 8 he said, "Previously saying, sacrifice burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." So he says, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So what that means is that the whole business of bulls and goats and doves and offerings for sin are taken away. Taken away. That's gone. That he may establish the second. And then the writer of Hebrews talks about that. "For by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all." Different to the blood of bulls and goats. That had to be done every year. That we had to keep coming back every year and getting it done over and over again. Because in the sacrifice of Jesus, there is the sacrifice that is the once and for all sacrifice. It never has to be repeated. Because why does it never have to be repeated? Because it is effective in the taking away of sin. Whoa! Come on. "By that will we have been sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." He says, every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, expecting till his enemies are made his footstool. Whoa. Isn't that just amazing? Isn't that just amazing? That what God has provided for is the taking away of sin. One sacrifice. Totally effective. Totally effective. So we don't have to walk in sin consciousness anymore. So why do we? Why do we? I don't know about you, but you know, there are times in my life when the prevailing thought with me is, "Oh, you miserable idiot. You know, why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep doing that? You know, have you no willpower? Have you no strength? Do you not believe the word? Where's your faith?" You know, thinking like that. Well, you know what that thinking is. That thinking is sin consciousness. I'm so focused on my misery. I'm so focused on my inability. I'm just a mess. No wonder I go around with my chin on the ground, dragging myself around. You know, when some bright, sparkling, worshipping person jumps up with their guitar and sings, something inside me says, "I don't want to do that." You know, what is that? What is that? That's the effect of sin consciousness in me. And God, God wants to reveal in his church and take away sin consciousness and replace it with son consciousness. Son consciousness. That we are going around as the children of God. Somebody's singing, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. What is that fear? What am I afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid that God is eventually going to get fed up with me. I'm afraid that God is going to draw the line and say, well, you've had your chance, buddy, and you don't make the cut. That's what I'm afraid of. And God wants us to understand that because we are children of God, that we don't have to live in that fear. We don't have to live in that fear. And, you know, because God, just want to say something here in relation to that we are children of God. I was hoping there'd be a little baby sleeping somewhere here, because I was thinking as I was coming down in the car, I wanted to go over to that little baby and say, well, you know, did you have a nice breakfast this morning? And he'd be kind of, and good breakfast this morning? Yes, you look pretty warm. Are you warm? You happy? So tell me this, how much did you pay for your breakfast this morning? Because, you know, I stopped in the Texaco on the way down and I paid $3.95 for my breakfast. What did you pay for your breakfast, little baby? And, you know, that sounds a bit kind of crazy because, you know, babies don't pay for their breakfast. Isn't that good? Yeah. So what I see there is that, and so this is nature actually teaches us that where you have a parent and where you have love and where you have total dependency, you get growth and you get health. And you get all those things. Yeah. And God has revealed himself in this book. I don't know if you've actually noticed, but God has revealed himself in this book over and over again as our father. And son consciousness has to do with being a father and has to do with being where there is a parent and where there is love and acceptance and where there is total dependence. There is life and there is growth and there is health. You see? And because we sometimes don't think as sons of God, but we think as dirty, rotten sinners, we fail. See, we don't fail because we don't have enough willpower. We don't fail because, you know, we haven't done the right courses. We fail because we're not dependent enough. That's where we fail. And Jesus actually illustrates that for us. In the when we look at the topic of temptation, you know, when I hear temptation, it tends to make me, if I'm thinking sin conscious, it makes me fear. You say temptation because there's certain things immediately come to my mind. And you know, I know this is where my struggle is when I'm thinking sin conscious. But Jesus didn't think sin conscious because he was the Son of God and he came in this human body. And when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came down on him as a dove. And then the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted. And scripture tells us that 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing. And then after that, the devil came to him. You remember what the devil said? First thing, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But you see, here's the thing. Just wind it back for a second. Wind it back for a second and think about the beginning of that because Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. This was the beginning of his ministry, in fact. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and the first thing the Holy Spirit did was took him out into the wilderness. And so here we have Jesus as a man being led by the Holy Spirit. As he says, I've come to do your will, O God. And now he's got the Holy Spirit speaking to his heart. And he knows, he can hear what the heart of God is, what the will of God is. And he's out there in the wilderness, because the Holy Spirit led him there. And he was being careful to walk in what the Holy Spirit was leading him and showing him. But here's the thing, you see. He walked past 10 or 20,000 rocks in those 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm sure the thought occurred to him, you know, man, I am hungry. I'm starving. Because he had a human body and he hadn't eaten for days. So, man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You know, but the Holy Spirit wasn't saying to him, well, just speak to one of those rocks. Be in faith. Come on. Speak to one of those rocks and you get a loaf of bread. Holy Spirit wasn't saying that to him. And Jesus wasn't saying, oh, forget this. You know, I'm just going to go back to being God. I'm just going to go back to being, you know, the creator. I'm going to create some bread right here. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was listening because he wanted to walk in the Spirit. And so he didn't make any of these rocks into loaves of bread because he wanted to walk with God and he wanted to be led by the Spirit. And so the devil came along after 40 days and said, if you are the Son of God, command these rocks to become bread. Well, Jesus had already answered that question 10,000 times. Yeah? So it wasn't that, you know, sometimes we think about Jesus and the devil, like, you know, trading scriptures like lightsabers. It wasn't like that. It was that all that the devil got to do was to test the authenticity of the decision that Jesus made as a man to be led by the Spirit. Do you see that? All that the devil got to do was to test. And when Jesus said, I've come to do your will, on the topic of being hungry and needing food, all the devil got to do was to test the authenticity of the determination of Jesus to be led by the Spirit. And so when we hear the word temptation, when we think of the word temptation as a son of God, then we understand that all that the devil can do with temptation is to verify whether or not the faith that we think we have is authentic, that we can walk free from sin. And so as a child of God, if we are tempted and we fall, all that tells us is that, well, this faith that I thought I had actually is not what Jesus purchased for me on the cross. So I'm missing it somewhere. Yeah? And you know, when we fall and when we struggle, we tend to run away from God. But our Heavenly Father, whose child we are, knows us from the start and has provided for us in what Jesus did on the cross, the victory over every temptation, over every sin. And now what we are engaged in as the children of God is God working with us to bring into reality what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. But what happens is that, you know, we don't know ourselves. And we can be in a wonderful worship service and hallelujah, we really feel the touch of God on our lives. And we say, okay, I got it. Now I really have it. Now I'm going to go out that door and now I'm going to be victorious and this is never, ever, ever, ever going to happen again. Thank you, Lord. And we march out the door and we're full of enthusiasm. And when we come back the following Sunday, we're back in the same old place we were. Why is that? Because the devil came along and he didn't make us fall and he didn't take away our sonship. All he did was he got to verify whether or not what we thought we had was true or not. Amen. You see, and I just find this so helpful because what I understand then is that there is something that Jesus purchased on the cross for me that I haven't yet entered into. Whoa. In fact, there's victory for me over everything that I have no victory in right now. It's just that I haven't entered into it yet. And you know, my Heavenly Father looks at me and says, how's that going for you, son? And I say, you know, it's not going well. And he says, well, you know, I can help you with that. And so I come to dependency. Dependency. One of the great lacks, I believe, in the church today is dependency. Dependency on Him. Dependency on what He has purchased on the cross. I don't know why that is, but what I do know is, see, when he died on the cross, he took all the sin of the world. And that includes my sin. He took it. And he provided on the cross victory. The amazing, amazing Son of God went to the cross and provided victory for me and for you over every work of the enemy, over every limitation of fallen humanity, over every weakness of fallen humanity. Jesus covered it. It was that sacrifice that was once and for all. It never has to be repeated. It never has to be improved on. It never has to be rejigged. Once and for all, Jesus paid the price for all the sin of the world. And that includes every sin of mine. And if I'm not walking in that right now, then the thing that I know is it's still on the cross. It's still on the cross. It's just that I haven't received it yet. And so God is calling his people out of sin consciousness into son consciousness. And, you know, because, you know, we have this desire and we have this heart to see a mighty move of God across the land. Well, this is part of it. This is part of it. This is where the rubber meets the road. And God is raising up people who know what it is to come to the cross and to receive stuff that Jesus provided, paid for. It's paid for. And so in Scripture, Paul talks about, you know, talks about us having a walk worthy of the Lord. I don't want to leave anything on the cross that Jesus paid for, that it's paid for, that it's available. So, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would switch a change of thinking. There's a word for that in Scripture. Change of thinking. There's a Greek word for that. We also translate it as repentance. A change of mind. Repentance. And if we walk in sin consciousness, we need a change of mind. We need to repent, actually, of sin consciousness. That's strong. And we need to allow the Lord to reveal sin consciousness to us. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm a work in progress. I'm not there yet. Nevertheless, I am a child of God, and He is faithful. When I come in dependence of Him, He is faithful to work with me, to work me through into the salvation that He has purchased for me on the cross. So thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us, Lord God. Lord, again and again and again and again, as much as we need and beyond. Lord, that we might know what it is to walk in Son consciousness. That we might know what it is to walk as the children of God. That we might know what it is to be a work in progress, but not to be rejected. That we might know that in this covenant that you have drawn us into, that at least one is faithful, and that's you. So what I'm talking about here is, I'm talking about God working with us. And see, I see a huge difference between the person who living their life struggles with some areas in life. And because, you know, there are some things that, you know, I don't have a problem with. Some things I don't have a problem with. You know, I don't rob banks very much. You know, I don't run amok with a chainsaw in the supermarket, that kind of thing. You know, I don't do funny mushrooms. I wouldn't even know what a funny mushroom was. I don't have a problem with those things. So, you know, I have the victory right there. Well, I wouldn't even say that. But it appears at any rate that I have the victory right there. But there are other areas. Like, for example, where Jesus said, you know, the most important commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, you know, what a miserable failure I am at that. Yeah? And for all of us, you know, there are areas that exist that we haven't yet walked into the victory in. But Jesus has that on the cross. Now, I'm talking about the person who really is wanting, is cut to the heart that they do not have a walk worthy of the Lord in that area. And they come back and they say, God, you know, God, 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 I can't do this. Help me. And that's one person. And God is working with that person. God is working with that child to bring into their heart and into their soul the victory that Jesus won on the cross. God is working there. That's a work in progress. But there's a completely different thing, which is where somebody says, well, I just don't care. I enjoy this. You know, what's the problem? I'm just going to enjoy this. And they give themselves over to some destructive, sinful thing. And they say, I don't care. Well, you see, that's a totally different thing. So what I'm talking about here is, I'm talking about the person, you know, who really wants, Christian, loves the Lord, but just is struggling for full victory. I'm not talking about somebody who just says, couldn't care less. I don't know what happens there. You know, some people say there's grace. Other people say there isn't. I say, God is God. I don't go there. Anyway. So let me just pray right now. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Thank you that you are raising up sons in glory. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided already, that Jesus is already sitting at your right hand, expecting his enemies under his feet. Lord, that every enemy, every demon, every temptation is under his feet. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, for son consciousness to be the thing that is uppermost in our minds. Lord, I pray, deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, from the sin consciousness, and cause us to walk in the provision that Jesus has made on the cross for us. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, David. To live in son consciousness, that means all of us, doesn't matter what background, family background, it doesn't matter how we have been treated in our lives, it doesn't matter our past history, and it doesn't even matter what strength that we have in ourselves. If it is based on us, some people have greater self-control. They can break away from sins. Let's say if I'm using cigarettes. Some people can give up cigarettes by great strength in their own self-control power. But some people don't. They will keep trying and trying. But if we're talking about sun consciousness, that means all of us, doesn't matter where we have been, it doesn't matter how strong we are, we are all given the same thing. It's our worth are all the same, in the sense of how the worth of our lives has been purchased by Jesus. And that is our worth for each one of us. And the power to live free from sin, the focus is on Christ's power instead of our own power. So we have all been given the same value because it's Christ's value. We've all been given the same power. It's the power of God within us. And that is sun consciousness instead of sin consciousness. Otherwise, we keep comparing ourselves. In the Old Testament, people have money, can buy thousands of cows and do the living, the sacrifice through the bulls and the cows. And the people have no money; they can only do pigeons. But our value through Christ is all of us have the same. There's no pigeon sacrifice or thousands of bulls and cows. We've been all been purchased by the same value, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live our lives sun consciousness. Hallelujah. That's a great freedom for all of us and great value system for ourselves to know who we are and to know Christ. Christ in us. Let's take that away with us. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, Lord God, if there's any lies within us that we believe that we are not worthy, let us lift our eyes and just only focus and praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a celebration of his life. In Jesus' name, amen.